unfortunately or fortunately, I will be on a plane this evening to going to Johannesburg for a simcha, thankfully. I won't be able to give the shiur live, but I thought that I would once again try to give it orally or by digitally remastered shiur. The important thing is that the Mar'ei Mekomot are up, and those of you who subscribe to the shiur in some way could get the Mar'ei Mekomot. I'm beginning with in the story of Korach with Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Kaf Gimel. Let's just remind ourselves of these very serious psukim. Vaydiber Hashem el Moshe lemor, Pasuk Kaf Daled, Daber el Haida lemor, right? Referring to the opposition to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? The opposition to Moshe Rabbeinu took place on several levels, as we shall soon see. Lemor, Hey, alumi sabiv lemishkan Korach Datan v'Aviram. So first, Moshe Rabbeinu asked the people to separate themselves, to walk back from the machane, the mishkan of Korach Datan v'Aviram. Vayakom Moshe vayelechel Datan v'Aviram v'yelchu acharav zeknei Yisrael. So here, Datan v'Aviram gets special mention. Even more than Korach, and Ve'yelchu acharav zeknei Yisrael, the elders of the zekeinim, the elders of Yisrael, go back with Moshe Rabbeinu. Vatedaber, vayedaber el ha'eda lemor suruna yal ohaleha anashim harishayim ha'ele, al tigu b'chol asher lahem, pen tisafu b'chol chatatam. Don't have anything to do with them, the Torah says. Suru na mi'al ohale anashim harashem ha'ele. We couldn't be clearer. Anashim rishaim. Wal tig'u b'chol asher lahem. Ben tisafu b'chol chatotam. Pasuk kav zayin. Vayalu me'al mishkan korach datan v'aviram. They listened. And again, datan v'aviram gets special mention. Misaviv v'datan v'aviram yatu yatzu nitzavim petach ohaleihem. Datan v'aviram stood fast at the opening, the doors of the tents. U'nishehem u'vneihem u'tapam, and with them were their wives and their children and their babies. Vayomer Moshe b'zot teidun ki asher shalachani lasot et kol ha'masim ha'elu. This will teach you. You will know that God has sent me to do all these things. But I was not. I didn't do it on my own. So apparently hidden in this whole merit, in this whole revolt of Korach, Dasan, Aviram, is the idea that they didn't believe that Moshe Rabbeinu was the shaliach, was the emissary of God in all of these things. And so he says, Bizot Teidun, Pasuk 28, Ki Hashem shlachani lasot et kol ha'masim ha'eila, ki lo milibi. So Moshe Rabbeinu is responding, apparently, to what they said, even though it was never said in this kind of general way, that Moshe Rabbeinu is kind of making all this up. Pasuk kaftet, im kumot kol ha'adam yimutun eile, if these people die, as all people die, ufkudat kol adam itam otam, and they will be like, you'll remember them like all the other people. Et kol asher lahem v'yardu chayim sheola, and they will go down alive to sheol, to the depths. V'yidatem ki niatzuha anashim ha'ele et Hashem. Well, I'm sorry, pasuk lamed. Pasuk lamed vim briya nivra yivra Hashem ufatzata adama et pia. If God, and this word briya is a difficult word, it might mean to create, but it might not, as we will see. Yivra Hashem upatzata adama et pia, and the adama will open its mouth uvala otam vet kol asher lahem and it will swallow them up, and swallow all those who come with them. V'yardu chayim she'ola, and they will go down to the she'ol alive. As they will die, but they will be alive when they go down. V'yadatem kini atzu anashim ha'ele et Hashem. So that means that the people still needed a proof. They needed proof that Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Rabbeinu, and that Datan v'Aviram was. It wasn't just the victory of the stronger over the weaker, assuming that Moshe Rabbeinu was stronger. It was the victory of truth and justice over a lying and deceit. So that in order to prove that, you needed some kind of an event, some kind of special event. V'tifaka adama asher tachtehem. V'tiftach ha'aretz et piya. V'tivla uta v'et b'nehem. V'et kol adam asher l'korach v'et kol ha'rechush. So this is what happened. That the earth opened itself up, its mouth, and it swallowed them. V'et b'tehem v'et kol adam asher. So it worked. They call a rechush, and all their property also disappeared. Yardu heim kol asher lahem chayim she'ola, and they and all those with them went alive into she'ol, into Hades. Vatechas aleihem haaretz, and the earth covered them up. Ve'yovdu. Mitocha kahal, they just disappeared. They didn't die a natural death. They didn't even die in a war or a plague or, you know, which are also like natural deaths. These are things that happen all the time, but they died in a unique way. Never repeated again. Right? B'chol Yisrael asher sivoteyam nasu likolam ki amru pentiv la'enu ha'aretz. And they all ran away. All the people ran away because they were worried that the earth would swallow them up. Beish yatzam et Hashem, patochal et hachamishim latayim ish, makrivei haketoret. And then the 250 who were the makrivei haketoret also were killed by this fire. So this is what it says in the Psukim, with a little bit of commentary. Now, if you look at the Rashi, Rashi says, Pasuk Kafei says, Vayako Moshe, Vayelech El Datan Vaviram. And Rashi says, Ksavur, She Yis'ulo Panim, Velo Asu. And it was like, why did Moshe Rabbeinu go to them? Moshe Rabbeinu is their sworn enemy, or they're his sworn enemy. I mean, the world is going to come to an end. So, kisavur sheyisulo panim. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that if he'd go over to them, they would be able to start a conversation, and they would be able to maybe change the situation. He says, v'lo asu, they didn't do that. Furthermore, pasuk of Zion, Rashi says, Yetzu nitzavim, right? That Datan v'Aviram, yetzu nitzavim. Nitzavim means to stand straight. So he says, "Bekomaz kufar." Rashi says their backs were up, lecharef u'legadef, in order to curse. And there's a pasuk. There's a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, "Vayit yatzev 40 yom." The galit, v'tit yatzev, right? It has to do with the cursing that we became aware of. U'nishehem u'v'nehem v'tapam. You see, bor e kama kashe ha'machloket. Look at how difficult machloket is. Sharei beitin shel mata ein onshin ela. The regular Beit Din doesn't punish a child until he has physical maturity. Beit Din shel mala ad 20 shana, right? And Beit Din shel mala doesn't punish until the accused reaches the age of 20. Uchaman karavdu af yodkei shanayim. So this Rashi calls Bora a kamakasheh hamachloket, that even the babies were destroyed. But in any event, the point of Rashi is that there was no sign on any level of chazara b'tshuva. There was no sign at all that Datan and Aviram Korach, Datan, were willing to reconsider, to think about it again, in spite of the fact that they knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was right, and they didn't really have much of a leg to stand on. Nevertheless, they didn't do tshuva, and so pasuk kav chet, right? Pasuk kav chet says v'yomer Moshe b'zot teidu ki Hashem shlachani. Pasuk kav chet, Hashem shlachani lasot et kol ha'masim ha'ele ki lo b'libi lasot et kol ha'masim ha'ele. Rashi says shasiti al pi adibur. Latet l'aron kuhuna gedola uvanav skane kuhuna elitzafan nasi akati. So these were the formal obligation opposition, the formal opposition to Moshe Rabbeinu. Nepotism, that he appointed people, right? As we learned that in the beginning of the parasha, that's what Korach really stated. Of course, there was this hidden agenda to remove Moshe Rabbeinu from his position of authority. But what he said, what they said was, I did all of these things. I made Aaron the Kohen Gadol. I made his sons the assistants of the Kohen. And Elitzaphan became the see of Kahati. So Pasuk Haftet, again, Pasuk Haftet is... that if they die, like all people die, then lo Hashem shlachani. Ela, Rashi, ani asiti hakol midati, uvedin hu cholek alai. But in fact, lo Hashem shlachani, that, you know, I was not supposed to do any of these things, but I did them. I did them, and lo Hashem shlachani, if this doesn't happen. So Pasuk Lamed says, Imbriya Rashi, Imbriya Chadasha, a new creation, Yivra Hashem, Lamitotam b'mita shelo meit ba'adam adheinu, to kill them in a way, they'll die in a way that no one has ever died before. Mahi Abriya says, what is this creation? Ufatzta ha'adamat piya, bativlaim, that the earth opens up its mouth and swallows them up. As V'yedatem kinyatsu heim et Hashem. Then you know that they cursed God. V'ani mipi ha'gvura amarti. And I spoke in the name of God. Rabotenu pirshu imbriya pe la'aretz mesheshet yimei bereshit mutav. That if you say that the earth had this possibility of opening up from the time of bereshit, okay. V'im lav yivra Hashem, and if not, then God will have to do it. That's what the imbriya means, right? Imbriya chadasha. If there is a new creation, that means imbriya. If this has already been like programmed into the creation, okay. But if not, then. In love, Yivra Hashem. That's what it means. So if you have to base yourself on Rashi's understanding, the issue is the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu, and of course the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu is further an issue of the Torah itself. I mean, if you think that Moshe Rabbeinu is doing things on his own, so he's no longer an authority. He's no longer the authority for the Torah, because you don't know any longer if this particular bit of Torah that you learned was Moshe Rabbeinu's creation, or was it Moshe Rabbeinu's listening carefully to God. That's something that's hard to know. So now let's look at the Ramban. The Ramban says, "Im kamod the pasuk of tet, im kamod kol adam yutun eile." Hine gam rabim ba'am amru lo pa'amim rabot, lama helitanu mitzrayim. Aval haya onesh al eile mikol ha'adam ba'amram, ki tistarer aleinu gam tistarer, ki asu shtayim ra'ot. In other words, this is a kind of revolt against Moshe Rabbeinu is not an uncommon thing. But the onish that they received was particular, was different. He says, "Ki asu shtayim ra'ot." I'm on the fifth line, right? They did two terrible things. Bazu al kvod harav. First of all, they insulted and demeaned the honor that you're supposed to give to the rav. The kafru, b'kol ma'aseh Hashem asher asa b'mitzrayim v'amidbar, and they denied all of the things that God did in Mitzrayim and in the desert. V'gam b'mamad har Sinai, sheneemar bo, also mamad har Sinai, sheneemar bo v'gam b'cha yaminu la'olam, that they'll believe in you, Moshe Rabbeinu. V'hem amru she'eino kedai listarer aleihem, that Moshe Rabbeinu does not have the value, the worth to be over them. Velo balahem al yedo rakra, and Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever he did, turned into something bad. Ebnei ze amar, v'yichar l'Moshe ma'od. That's why Moshe was so angry. B'gam Korach amar, madu atitnasu, and Korach said the same thing. Why do you think you're so great and above us all? V'al kein nivla ohalo imahem, and that's why the tent of Korach was swallowed up with them. B'zetam lo Hashem shelachani, shelosh lachani kla lo tziyami Mitzrayim, that God did not send me. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu meant, to take us out of Mitzrayim. Getam asher shelacho Hashem lasot be'eretz Mitzrayim. B'chein ki Hashem shelachani lasot et kol ha'ma'asim ha'eile, ha'ma'asim asher ye'ite b'nechem. So God sent me, Moshe Rabbeinu said, to do all of these wondrous acts, you know. Jeritem benechem remes the kol asher asam miyom shenemalo lech veshlachacha el paro. And these are the things that Moshe Rabbeinu did. So you see again, according to the Ramban, very much I think like Rashi, but with greater detail, that the issue was Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Was Moshe Rabbeinu telling me the truth, that this is what God wanted, or was Moshe Rabbeinu kind of making it up? Now, this is intrinsic to the way that the Torah was given. The Torah, after all, was given on Har Sinai to Bnei Yisrael, but only a very small amount of the Torah. The first two Dibrot of the Aseret Dibrot, the entire Aseret Dibrot was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu, or Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to Bnei Yisrael when he came down from the mountain. And that's what we call the Theophany or the Itgalut, the revelation. It was a revelation that God could in fact give the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, but it was not that at that time Bnei Yisrael received the entire Torah. Bnei Yisrael received the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, who received it from God in the Ohel Moed, and because of that, this question could come up. And so Korach is not just a story that appears in the in the Torah, in which the good guys win and the bad guys lose, and that's terrific. But it really relates to an ongoing problem that the Jews have had since Matan Torah, and that is that since we received the Torah, actually we see like two things. One, we received the information that the Torah could in fact be given, right? That's what we learned at Har Sinai. That this idea that God has a Torah and we're going to get it, that could really be. I mean, it really might happen. Unfortunately, the Torah was only given to us in the form of two dibrot, two of the commandments, the first two commandments. The rest of the Torah, I mean, we refused to go back up on Har Sinai or towards Har Sinai. And we wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to represent us. That's what the story in the Torah is, both in Shemot and in Dvarim. So that we left ourselves open to this issue. And that issue was, well, how do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us the truth? I mean, we have no reason to think that he's not telling us the truth. But we don't know for a fact that he is telling us the truth. And so it turns out, according to the Rambam, that if they say, how do I know that the Torah is true? How do I know that the Torah that I have in my hand is true? And so the answer to that question is, well, because the earth swallowed up Korach, Datan, Baviram. In other words, this was a kind of a miraculous event that was more than a miraculous event. It was a Bri'ah, right? It was a Bri'ah. And a Bri'ah, a creation, is really a strong step. Is really a strong step. And so that the issue became the issue of the Torah, the issue of the Torah itself. And the issue of the Torah itself was solved. I mean, that's why in the first Rashi, by the way, in the first Rashi, after Rashi explains that there was opposition, to Korach and to the opposition of Korach was, as Rashi says here, to appointing Aharon and then Skanei Kohanim and then El Safan, who became the Nasif of Bnei Kahat. I mean, all of that is certainly true. All of that is certainly true. However, Rashi adds that when Korach came to speak out against Moshe Rabbeinu, he asked him these questions. He said that what if you have a house full of Sifrei Torah? Do you have to put a mezuzah? What if you have a cloak that's kulo tchelet, that's colored with the color of tchelet? Do you have to add a tchelet string to your tzitzit, to the tzitzit? So he presents these questions in the form of a kal v'chomer. If you don't have any, so you need one. But if you have everything, why would you need one? I mean, something like that, some kind of a kal v'chomer. Those are the words that Rashi chooses. Let me just look at it. I'll tell you exactly what I will mention exactly what Rashi says. Okay, here we are. So Rashi at the end, he says, Ba'u v'amdu lifnei Moshe. They came and they stood before Moshe Rabbeinu. Amru lo, talit shekula techelet, chayevet b'tzitzit optura. Amar lehem Moshe, Moshe said to them, chayevet. Hitchilu lisachek alav. Efshar talit shel min echad. Shel min acher. Chut echad shel techelet potura. So we call the argument that they made, they said, if a regular cloak, you have one thread of tchelet, that's enough. And what about a cloak that's entirely made of tchelet? So then, what about that? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, of course, you have to put a chut of tchelet on that cloak as well. So they all laughed at him. And they said, if a non-tchelet cloak You just have to put one tchelet string. So if the whole thing is made out of tchelet, certainly you don't have to put out anything. This is a kind of logical position called the kal v'chomer. Now we know, at least we know from the Rambam explains that the Yud Gimel Midot, Chataran Nedreshet Bahem, were used by Chachamim, people who had special understanding and knowledge of the Torah, and they were able, in fact, to invent, the new halachot based on the Yud Gimel Midot. Only one of the Yud Gimel Midot is logical, is a logical inference. And that one of the Yud Gimel Midot, which is a logical inference, is the Kal V'chomer that they used, that the people in Korach's camp used. Why did they use a Kal V'chomer? Because a Kal V'chomer, being logical, always could be usurped. It could be denied. It could be changed around, so that Kal V'chomer is easy enough to present. You don't have to be Moshe Rabbeinu to make a Kal V'chomer. And since they were committed to denying the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu, they laughed at him when he said, yes, you need one string of tchelet for that as well. So you see, if you ask yourself, why did the Chachamim add this? And why did Rashi add this in his commentary? Why wasn't it enough for Rashi to say, well, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu did a few things and he annoyed a few people and that was the end of it? Because Rashi didn't do that. Why didn't Rashi say that? Because Rashi wanted to make sure we understood that the argument with Moshe Rabbeinu was not procedural. It was not about nepotism. That was just the cover-up. The real argument with Moshe Rabbeinu was that everybody could create Torah just as Moshe Rabbeinu was creating Torah. And that the creation of Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu was not necessarily better than anybody else creating. And so in order to usurp the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu, it became necessary to say this, that the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is based on the fact that he knows the Torah, was misplaced. Because maybe he doesn't know the Torah. And that's where the Ramban is leading us. Okay, food for thought. On the sheet, if you look on the internet, there's also a restatement. I think it's a restatement of the Ramban by the Malbim. And it's probably worthwhile to try it. Try the Malbim. I tried to sort of summarize it, but, go through it again. All the best. Have a wonderful week and a good Shabbos. I'll see you when I get back.